like we have to do this, but I am equally concerned about people that are impacted, Cat Country and others. Yeah. Robert Hill, I know, is on there. So there are just a number of very important, you know, radio entities in this community that are being displaced. And I guess I just want the assurance that we are going to move heaven and earth to put them in the same position or better going forward, because I too want to say congratulations on Best Station of the Year. That's a pretty big deal.
Thank you so much. That's Allison Patton, City Councilwoman Allison Patton, talking to City Council meeting last Thursday about an issue that directly affects us, because presumably you listen to this station, it directly affects you, and that is that the FM antenna that you're listening to FM 92.3 on is located on a tower that is in the middle of a giant retention pond downtown, the Long Hollow Pond, right kind of behind and southeast of the medical facility and the ECUA, the big circular facility that's supposed to hold overflow sewage. Okay, there's this giant stormwater pond down there, and the city is expanding that. It's got some American Rescue Plan funds and I think some other funds as well. It's trying to figure out how to spend those money. It's a lot of money, and they're gonna expand that pond. In order to expand that pond, they're going to have to dig out more, okay? And part of the more is that tower that sits in the middle of that pond is going to have the guy lines that connect, or guy wires that connect it to the ground, okay? The footings of those are going to have to go away, and so that tower needs to come down. It's a good project. It's a good expansion. It's just frustrating because there's like 8 radio stations that are all using that tower right now, and the way we use it is going to no longer be possible. So, and by the way, thank you for the mention of the Station of the Year, Allison Patton. I appreciate that. And, you know, talking about these stormwater matters, and so do these radio stations. We appreciate all that. It's not Cat Country, by the way. A lot of times people were talking about this, mentioned Cat Country. Cat Country just happens to be the first station. It's, you know, the main station, if you want to call it that, for our cluster. It certainly is. It's the, you know, our owners. They showed up wearing yellow Cat Country colors. It's really news radio, the 92.3 signal. Not the AM 1620 signal and not the FM 95.3 signal, all of which are completely unaffected by this. It's just the antenna that's FM 92.3. It's also 94.5, the playlist, our sister station. ESPN Pensacola, the 99.1 signal. The AM 1330 is not affected, but the 99.1. And then a couple of other stations, including WRNE, the Catholic station. There's a TV station. There's, like I said, there's 8 altogether. And the basic situation is we are all on that tower. And in radio, height is everything. Height and location is everything. And power is everything. Okay, but height. And so we need to move somewhere else. Well, the somewhere else that's been proposed is a place called the Englewood Tower. Another tower the city owns is not that far away. It would be a perfect location for us. And Dina Stallworth, who is the facilities leasing director for the city, she's property leasing manager for the city, she says,
we are trying our best to relocate them, and I really feel like we'll work it out. I think everyone will have a place to be. It may not be the Englewood Tower. That's what the consultant's going to tell us.
Yeah.
It may not be Englewood, but there are other towers.
Right.
And I feel like we can work it out.
Well, and height is definitely a variable.
Height is the
well,
issue.
So.
Yeah, height on the tower, whatever tower they're on, height is the issue.
Right, because yeah. If we're at 350 feet now, okay, with that particular antenna, it covers the area it covers. If it went up, it would cover farther. If it went lower, it would cover less. Okay, so, you know, you're driving through, like, Milton or Navarre or Perdido, and you're kind of, sometimes you get 92.3 and sometimes you don't, or it's that. Those are the boundaries of the broadcast area, depending on your radio and weather and some other factors. If the height of the antenna went up, you'd get it farther. If the height goes down to 160 to 200 feet, as has been sort of proposed, it would be a lot less. And so a lot of the coverage of our 92.3 signal would go away, and that's the issue. We just want to be at 350 or higher feet when we make the move. Well, the problem is that the tower we want to move to, and these other stations also want to move to, is very cluttered right at the top with existing users.
Tower is at about 80% capacity. It's a big tower, but there are a lot of people that unfortunately have beat the Divine Word communications clients to the punch. On that tower, very high up, are the FBI, Motorola, Sheriff Chip Simmons, PPD, and also public safety. So unfortunately, There are a lot of things that are very high on the tower already. So what the point of all of this due diligence is to make sure that they can fit on the tower.
Right, that the tower is strong enough to hold our antennas that and everybody else's, that there's no conflict, that nobody's interfering with each other and so forth, which we think will happen. And the final report on that is supposed to come back within about a month. And if that all works out, then everything's fine. But the city had this question of whether to terminate the lease for that tower and basically promise to take down that tower eventually before they could move forward with being the like site design and engineering for the stormwater pond in order to claim that they are on the path towards spending the money, which they have to do. Otherwise, they lose the money come December 31st. So this is a good project. Okay, the stormwater pond expansion is a good project. They are working hard to make sure that we are and everybody else is taken care of, and rightly so. The city has been great. Dina Stallworth has been great. You know, she has mastered a whole set of information that is hard to learn. Okay, really hard to learn. And I know my boss is very passionate about this, and even, you know, he mentioned in the meeting, he showed up there, Dave Hoxing.
And we've been working with the city executive department on finding a solution, and we've had some good conversations, but no resolution. This tower was built originally in 1950.
And by the way, that's been the issue, is just not feeling 100% satisfied that we have every single step between here and there worked out. And we don't yet have every single step between here and there worked out. We think we have a good path. We think it's going to work. We're still waiting a little bit. And he's reluctant because it's his baby and he cares about this and News Radio Matters. And so do these other stations. And we just want to make sure that it's going to work out. And, you know, 98% of a solution is still not 100%. That's kind of the issue. I'll finish up on this in a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with that accident that happened on Palafox and Hope Drive. It is still blocking traffic, so just be aware of that. You might want to take Highway 29 instead of Old Palafox for your way in. Other than that, things are looking good. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So back to this conversation about the tower that took place last Thursday. And again, Mayor Reeves has been emphatic about the value of the radio stations and also the obligation under the Florida Commerce Grant to relocate us, which, you know, because we're a small business and this is an adversity to us, basically. And so they're obligated to take care of us under the terms of the grant.
We're aware of the value that Dave and his radio stations bring. I think really both of these topics are pertinent as we sit here and we know what's happened in the state of Florida recently. Not only the ability to communicate with our citizens, of which is great value, and it certainly motivates us to make sure that in a time of need or a hurricane that a radio station that does a great job cascading information to citizens is a vital aspect of our city. So is stormwater, and so is the ability to protect and make our city more resilient.
Right, absolutely. And that's why, you know, we haven't really talked about this on the air. We knew it was happening, obviously, but we just didn't want to feel like we were, I don't know, impeding or influencing or something, because it is so closely connected to what we do and what you do and listening to us on the FM signal. But that's why when the city has made the decision on Thursday, I thought, like, you know, well, now it's time to inform people what's happening. And the city, like I said, the city has been, other than promising us that we can go on that Englewood Tower, which they have not done, but I think when the study comes back that we'll be able to, they've done everything else they can to assure us, which is very, very comforting. You know, they're trying their best. As you heard there, the mayor talking about, this is an important thing, and, you know, we send out information on our stations whenever there's a storm and whenever there's an emergency. We're a sort of a vital piece of the communications network for the city. And, you know, and he said this many times, and other city council members said this many times.
Change causes anxiety, and I certainly understand that from Cat Country, but I think we as a community have a vested interest in their success.
By the way, he keeps saying Cat Country. It's News Radio. Cat Country, just because my bosses were wearing their yellow Cat Country stuff, and Cat Country is our sister station and you know, frankly, a more well-known brand in the community because they've been here longer and they're fantastic. But it's News Radio. It does not affect Cat Country in any way. It is genuinely News Radio, ESPN Pensacola, and the playlist. Anyway, back to the mayor's comments.
That's not just to listen to me on the radio. It's so we can get information out during a hurricane, during a storm. It's a vital aspect of the infrastructure of the city.
Thank you.
So we have a vested interest, regardless of what our obligations are, per the grant, per what they've told us. As I've shared with Dave personally, we will not allow our the capability of us to communicate information to our citizens to be a secondary afterthought of moving a tower for stormwater. So certainly we're absolutely committed to that.
And I couldn't have written a better statement myself, right? The value of what we do and the importance of it to the city and getting information out. And he doesn't want to disrupt that, not just because he doesn't want his own interviews to be impacted, right? And again, just to be clear, AM 1620 and FM 95.3 are completely unaffected. 98.7 HD3 is not affected. Online stream is not affected. It's just the FM 92.3, but that's the one that's most popular. Right, that's the one where most people are listening most of the time in their cars on the way to work. Now, I got to say this, I haven't played this clip yet, but it was my favorite clip of the night. Casey Jones, city council president, and Allison Patton said something comparable, and Jared Moore said something comparable, and like I said, the city's been great. We have only the best, and this won't matter for another year to a year and a half, okay? The tower's not going to actually come down for at least a year, but you got to have things in place because the move is not going to be easy, and it's going to be a challenge to make the move. Anyway, City Council President Casey Jones, I thought, had the best comment of the night.
I do agree that it's very important we get these relocated and in good positions. Mr. and Mrs. Hoxing, I know one thing I've learned being in this position is that I have to listen to news radio, and I was listening to it on the way in here, and I think you got an award for that as well recently. So I appreciate the service that you're providing to this community, and I'm confident that our staff's going to work to make sure that continues.
Thank you. I love that. He learned early on he had to listen to news radio, and he was listening on the way into this to the city council meeting. I love that. That's great. We might use that as a promo. That's fantastic. So, like I said, the city's been great. Dina Stallworth, genuinely, she's been a hero in all of this. And the mayor and everybody else has, said all the right things, which we very much appreciate. And I know the other radio stations and TV station appreciate that as well. So the short version is we expect to move most likely to that Englewood Tower. Everybody can make the move. Everybody can be happy. The end. If that turns out not to be the case, there are other towers. There are other possibilities that involve more work, more money, and more uncertainty. But that's what we're hoping for at the moment. And, we haven't talked about this, like I said, but the reason I wanted to let you know is because I know a lot of you listen to 92.3, and so it matters to you. And I wanted to make sure you were aware of what was going on because, it's your radio station too, right? 722 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
With 0% financing on one of Volkswagen's most popular SUV crossovers, there's no better time to drive the VW Tiguan from Pete Bohr Imports. Get 0% APR for a full 60 months, plus an additional $500 of VW loyalty cash. And you'll be driving the 2024 Tiguan S for as low as $28,999. But if you'd rather forego the 0% APR, then take advantage of an additional discount for a low price of $27,499. And the 2025 Jetta S, Volkswagen's top-selling four-door sedan, is now available from a low $22,995. This month, the numbers are adding up to bigger savings from Pete Bohr Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Bohr Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualified credit through BCI. Sale price before tax, title, and agency. Royalty discount for qualified VW owners. See dealer for offer expires October 31st, 2024.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who is Jesus? Some people say he was a prophet or a rabbi. Some say he was just an interesting historical figure. Really, the question, who is Jesus, is the most important question facing mankind. He wasn't just Jesus of Nazareth, but he was more than that. The Bible explains that he is Jesus the Christ. He is the Anointed One, the Messiah. Jesus isn't just a prophet, but he is the prophet. He is the one that Isaiah prophesied would be born of a virgin. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus? The best answer is, he is God. I encourage you to rejoice in him and give your life to him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Visit Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze for custom engraving and unique gifts. Specializing in creating extraordinary keepsakes, their expert engravers bring your vision to life with elegant monograms, personalized messages, and logos. Whether it's custom drinkware, engraved glassware, or home decor, each piece is crafted with attention to detail for any occasion. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, or corporate gifts, Prim and Proper ensures your gift will leave a lasting impression. Stop by their Gulf Breeze location or visit them online at primandproper.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With four Sunny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
DeFranco Gas is your local expert in all things gas. Local Tom DeFranco and Company has been installing and servicing your gas-powered business and home needs for over 38 years and is here to help make your gas life easier. Tankless water heaters, gas grills, gas fireplaces, gas heating systems, and DeFranco Gas gets your home and business storm ready with installation and servicing of whole generator systems. All things gas. DeFranco Gas, your local gas service provider. Member of the Better Business Bureau. DeFrancoGas.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Silence, Earthling! My name is Darth Vader. I am an extraterrestrial from the planet Vulcan.
Good morning, 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has got our traffic for us. Sorry, John. Go ahead, sir.
There's an accident still dealing with on Palafox Street, blocking traffic at Hope Drive, and that is located just north of I-10. So just be aware of that. You definitely want to plan a different route. Also, we're starting to see backups now. I-10 eastbound from Pine Forest all the way through Highway 29 exits. Through that road construction, you're seeing some delays. I'd say about 10, 15-minute delay. You need to build in some time for that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Vice President Kamala Harris will be doing her first ever interview with Fox News this week. The network announced that Brett Beyer will be interviewing Kamala Harris from Pennsylvania. That interview is scheduled to air on Wednesday. A train operator is dead. More than 20 passengers have been injured after a train accident in New Jersey. Officials say a train hit a tree that had fallen on the tracks Monday morning. More alleged victims are now filing sexual assault lawsuits against Sean Diddy Combs. The incidents allegedly took place between 1995 and 2021, and three of those plaintiffs are men. Combs remains in jail in New York awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Okay, it's been nagging me in my brain ever since I played the Marty McFly, Darth Vader, Planet Vulcan clip, but I can't get rid of it. Do you know the song that he plays on the cassette player for his dad to wake him up? Anybody? Who's the artist?
Heavy metal.
Heavy metal. Oh, you're killing me. It's not heavy metal.
It was heavy metal.
It was really? Eddie Van Halen. David, you have a guess? You know the song? You know anybody?
No, I was just going to say I thought it was Van Halen.
It is Van Halen?
I thought it was Van Halen. The name of the song is just right over top of my head, though.
It's a song called Out the Window. Although there's been a lot of debate over the years about it. But yeah, it's funny because it's one of these, like, I don't even think that's on an album as far as I remember. But there you go. Just a little bit of Back to the Future for you. 729 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I don't have time to get into that. We are doing the amendments now. Last hour I did Amendment 1 on partisan school board races. I'm a yes on that amendment. But the whole conversation, we're going to podcast on newsradio923.com, which, by the way, we podcast all the shows. So you can listen to the show there if you did not know that. And on the app, too, News Radio Pensacola, if you just download the app, you can, you know, navigate real easy. It's like one click of the button to go to the podcast, and you can listen to those. So I encourage you to do that. It is good information. Anyway, coming up next, we're going to talk to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. We've had some... There's always cases. Last week was a weird one where we didn't have any incidents to talk about. This week we do have some, and we have some things that are not exactly from our area, but we'll get his take on it as well. So, you know, it's always interesting to talk to the sheriff. Bands on the Beach tonight. Bands on the Beach tonight. You've got String Farm is going to be performing at 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion. Always a good time for Bands on the Beach. And, yeah, we'll be back in just a minute. I'm Andrew McKay.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Well, Pennsylvania remains the most visited state for the presidential campaigns. Vice President Harris last night in Erie.
We are focused on issues that matter most to families across America, like bringing down the cost of living, investing in small businesses and entrepreneurs, protecting reproductive freedom.
Or President Trump repeats a campaign promise in Oaks, Pennsylvania.
1 year from January 20th, we will have your energy prices cut in half all over the country.
Election day is in 3 weeks. Early in-person voting starts today in Georgia.
The Georgia Secretary of State's office is expecting millions of their registered voters to cast ballots between now and November 1st when the early vote period ends. ID is required.
Fox's Evan Brown. Two giant pandas from China land this morning to be taken to the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne right now. It is 66 degrees and mostly cloudy in Pensacola. An Escambia County woman facing charges after allegedly getting angry and chasing kids with a knife at a birthday party. Deputies say that happened at a party on Irene Lane on Sunday. 44-year-old Lisa Bryant allegedly got angry and began chasing people with a knife. Deputies say a 17-year-old was cut during the incident. Brian is currently being held with no bond at the Escambia County Jail. She's charged with aggravated assault with a weapon and cruelty to a child. Two Navarre residents are dead after a head-on motorcycle crash in Bay County. This happened on Sunday on State Road 20. The Florida Highway Patrol says the Navarre residents, a 46-year-old man and a 52-year-old woman, were on 20, headed west on their motorcycle when a pickup truck driven by a Milton man crossed the center line going around a curve, crashed into them head-on. The riders were thrown from the bike onto the roadway. The pickup then ran off the road into the tree line. Both riders died from their injuries. The pickup driver also suffering minor injuries in that crash. A Pensacola man charged with trafficking an underage girl in Bay County. 25-year-old Malcolm Drakeford was arrested Friday. Investigators say he'd taken a young girl from Pensacola to Bay County, where her contact information was listed on a website advertising sexual services. Deputies say that that ad was also featured in several other cities in Northwest Florida in previous months. Deputies say they were able to locate the girl using their real-time crime center. She was found with Drakeford in the Callaway area. She was turned over to the Department of Juvenile Justice and will be brought back to Pensacola. Drakeford is now charged with human trafficking of a minor and is being held in the Bay County Jail on $500,000 bond. The Bay County Sheriff's Office says they do expect further arrests in that case. The Impact 100 organization has announced the groups that will be receiving grant money this year. The grants are awarded in five categories, including arts, culture and history, education, environment and recreation, family, health and wellness. Some of the organizations receiving funding this year include the UWF Historic Trust for the Pensacola Children's Museum exhibit Our Town, A Space for All, the Dixon School of Arts and Sciences for their Natural Wonders Park, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, Council of Pensacola, and Vision of Hope. Each of those organizations will receive more than $100,000 this year thanks to an increase in the Impact 100 membership. And the group says their membership season began this week. They're holding their first meet and mingle event next month. For more information, check out impact100pensacola.org. Over a half million people have already cast their ballots for November's election in Florida. The state elections office said yesterday they've received over 500,000 vote-by-mail ballots. 200,000 of those plus just a few over 200,000 were from registered Democrats, under 200,000 from registered Republicans, and there's about 100,000 people from voters with no party affiliation. And out of all the counties, Palm Beach County has turned in the most ballots so far. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. We're still working that accident on Palafox Street, blocking traffic at Hope Drive, and that is located just north of I-10, so you definitely want to plan around that. I'm seeing some major delays. Also, I-10 eastbound, you're about up to about a 20-minute delay if you're heading through that construction zone, headed on your way to Highway 29, but it's backed up past Pine Forest, so just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Plenty of sunshine today with a high near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 56 degrees. For Wednesday, nice sunny skies, high near 68. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. Keeping the sunny and beautiful weather around on Thursday, high near 70 degrees, low near 57 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 68 degrees. We've got mostly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Our next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Facebook and Instagram both experienced outages yesterday, according to the website Down Detector. There were more than 8,000 outages on Facebook and over 4,000 issues with Instagram as of yesterday afternoon. Meta Platforms did not immediately respond to a Reuters request for comment. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro called Pittsburgh the future of artificial intelligence development. Shapiro added that thus far, state employees involved in a limited pilot reported saving, on average, 105 minutes per day using ChatGPT through the state's partnership with OpenAI. Shares of Swedish telecom firm Ericsson jumped 7% amid third quarter core earnings that surpassed analyst expectations and growth in North American demand. Ericsson declared that adjusted third quarter earnings of $0.7 billion. This compares with the $0.3 billion in the same period of last year. Futures are mixed after the Dow closed above 43,000 for the first time. That's Your Money Now.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
When it comes to your dream home, at Pinair Credit Union, we think you deserve to be picky. So buy that perfect place that just speaks to you. Or build a new home just the way you like it. Because at Pinair Credit Union, we deliver affordable and flexible home mortgages and construction loans designed to make your next home a dream come true. Find all you need to get started at pinair.org/homeloan. Whether you're buying or building, Pinair Home Loans fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority each Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You're invited to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Coming up this Tuesday, it's String Farm, Pensacola's bluegrass house band, playing the greatest all-time hits of bluegrass from the stage and screen. We'll see you this Tuesday for Bands on the Beach at 7 with String Farm. Just remember, no pets or class allowed.
Warning. Amendment 4 overturns Florida's parental consent law, so a minor could undergo an abortion without a parent's permission. Doctors can't even prescribe Tylenol without a parent's consent. But with Amendment 4, abortion would become the only medical procedure that can be performed on a minor without a parent's permission. Amendment 4 goes far beyond Roe v. Wade, eliminating reasonable safeguards and forcing taxpayers to fund abortions. even late-term abortions when science says the baby can feel pain. The Amendment 4 campaign is funded by George Soros and his radical allies, the same people trying to strip away parents' rights and push gender ideology in schools are trying to overturn parental consent on abortion. Amendment 4 isn't about freedom. It's about taking power from parents and giving it to radical leftists. Be warned. Amendment 4 is way too extreme and not what it seems. Sponsored by Truth About Amendment 4.
Next time on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Afternoons are better on News Radio 92.3. Top trending stories, financial news, sports, flight information, interviews, traffic, and the most accurate five-day forecast. This is Chris Bryan along with Austin Price. It's Pensacola Right Now. Happens just after 4 on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 till 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 741 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons is with us. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to have you. Anything overnight we need to know about before I forget to ask? I sometimes forget to ask. Anything, incidents, big incidents happen overnight?
No, I just checked. Nothing significant happened overnight, which is
great.
Good, right?
Best news, yeah. We're not looking forward to a press conference later today. So yeah. Seems like it happens often enough. Let's start with this. I think it turned out to be not much of a story, but there was a threat maybe last week against it. I wasn't sure whether it was Success Academy or Achieve Academy or what was the situation here? Is this?
Yeah, there was a 13-year-old that was upset about missing the bus and made some threats to show up to school. So we responded. I'll be honest, I don't know if we arrested the individual as a 13-year-old. Okay. So a lot of times we work with the schools and try to figure out what's the best avenue for that. If someone brings a weapon to school, they're going to be charged. Or if there's some attempt to move towards a threat, move and carry out that threat, then we would make an arrest. But I don't know what the outcome was this one, because the student, as I understand it, was already in some trouble, from some past stuff. I think they were adding that to the past trouble.
Okay. And this is a school that typically serves like kids who have already had trouble at regular school, right? I mean, second chance kind of schools.
Yeah, I don't know what it's not the typical school that you would send your children to.
A pickup truck was found in the Escambia River near Bluff Springs Recreation Area.
Yeah, we there was a report that a I think it was a red pickup truck, looked like half it was submerged, and so they gave us a call up there around Century, and we sent our dive team out there because our concern was that someone may have crashed into that. Or there was some evidence, maybe it was stolen and that sort of thing. But we got up there and it was really nothing to it. No one, unfortunately, no one was injured in the truck. They pulled the truck out and I guess returned to the owner.
Not in a weird enough position or place that it really needs explanation, except for it is weird for somebody to drive their truck into the river and leave it.
And bail on it. Yeah.
But I mean, I see boats like this all the time, so maybe it's not that weird for the truck. I don't know. Depends on the quality of the truck, I suppose. Sunday morning, we had a shooting near Chimes Park on W Street. Two people were shot. Is that right?
Yeah, it looks now like there was two cars involved. One car had been reported to be downtown at a bar, and then they moved to, I guess, Chaser's Lounge up in that area. And when they left that parking lot about a block or so away, another car pulled up to them and just started shooting. At this point, it looks like it was not random. It was intentionally targeting those individuals that were in that car. Two males were hit. One of them is deceased, and one of them, as I understand, is still hospitalized.
Mm. And so do we have any leads particularly?
We do have some leads. Okay. We have some information. Obviously, we're asking if anyone has additional information to give us a call and let us know. But at this point, the investigation continues, and we're working towards some resolution.
Okay. This was... to me, one of I find I have gotten a little bit accustomed to the drugs and gangs and retaliation, and in your brain you try to categorize these things, and domestic is in the one hand and crime and gangs and drugs are on the other hand. This is one where I think, my God, this kind of stuff, because it seems like it could sort of happen to anybody. You had a minor traffic collision, and then the people who were on the one side of the traffic collision got in an argument with the other one, and they followed him home and shot him? What happened here?
Yeah, you know, sometimes we get varying stories about what took place. But as we understand it,
Put all of this within the asterisk.
Yeah, yeah. Let me go backwards.
Correct. Okay.
There's three teenagers at a man's house over off of off Fairfield, and he ends up getting shot and killed. So there's several shots fired at this individual.
So three teenagers plus him.
Yes. Three teenagers, and then he was there. Two of the teenagers apparently shot at him, and then they fled. So they're from Santa Rosa County.
Okay.
And then as we go back and we say, okay, what took place? And the understanding is that there was their vehicle got into a fender bender or a traffic accident with the victim, the ultimate victim.
Okay.
And they followed him to the house. Why? I don't really know. I don't know why they don't call law enforcement and report this thing, this traffic accident. But the bottom line is they found themselves, or they went to intentionally, to this house where a shooting occurred. And an individual is dead, and two teenagers are charged with the homicide.
And we don't was it the fender bender that led to them meeting and getting into a fight? Was there a pre-existing relationship?
The claim is that there was a
crime involved aside from this.
The claim is that there was a fender bender that led to them. Oh, okay, we'll follow you to the house now. Oh,
okay,
why they went there? I'll get you money. I'll pay for it, or whatever we're gonna do. I don't know. The complete details of that story, but the story goes there was a fender bender and that led to the house. All I know is that the man is dead.
Yeah,
and two teenagers from Santa Rosa County were charged with it.
And let's be real clear: don't bring people to your house to give them money that are total strangers that you bump into. I mean, it's the kind of thing you can understand. Like maybe somebody's not insured and they think they're going to avoid problems. They don't want to call the cops because they're uninsured or, you know, whatever. But you put yourselves at risk when you don't go through the official process, right?
Yeah. Again, I'm not sure I'm buying all this.
Okay. You know, fair enough.
To be honest. So that's all I can say.
All right. Fair enough. We're talking to Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Just one accident to let you know about: a vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock we're still dealing with on North Old Palafox and East Hope Drive. Roadway is still blocked. There's injuries associated with this, so you definitely want to plan around that. Other than that, traffic's good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, we had an inmate at the jail, I guess, kill another inmate. And it seemed to me like maybe they were in the infirmary at the time. What happened here?
Yeah, my understanding is there were two individuals that were in the infirmary. There was a 36-year-old Jorge Velasquez was in with a 42-year-old victim, ultimate victim. They were in the infirmary at the jail. They got into a...
Which is quite big. The old infirmary was tiny. The new infirmary is enormous. Or at least it's a large space, yeah.
Yeah, but I understand they were sharing a cell.
Okay.
I mean, again, a lot of people were in the infirmary at any given moment. They were in a cell, and the victim suffered some head injuries. And originally, we charged them. We don't run the jail, as you know,
right?
So the Escambia County Jail, they call us, and we do a report as we would anywhere else, and we charge him with aggravated battery because the injuries seemed severe. Ultimately, the injuries took his life, and so we're working with the state attorney's office to. They obviously know this now, and they will, as I understand it, increase those charges related to the death, the homicide.
Only because you mentioned it, we seem to periodically have this question come up. You know, should the jail revert back to you guys? Obviously, the county took it away from the sheriff several years ago. Do you have a position on that? Do you want the jail back?
Do I want the jail back?
Do you want the jail back? Do you think it's better for the county if the sheriff's office runs the jail? Have you guys even had that conversation with the county lately?
I mean, we've got a whole new
board coming in, too. So.
Yeah, I have not. I've been pretty clear about the fact that I think that from a citizen and taxpayer standpoint, that the jail should be run by the sheriff. There's a reason that of the 67 counties, all but, I don't know, less than 10, the counties actually run the jail. By statute, the county is responsible for the jail, but typically what they will do is they will request that the sheriff or someone else become the chief corrections officer. By statute, you have to have one of those.
Okay.
And in this case, the county's running the jail. I'm not, do I want the jail? I just think that the sheriff should run the jail.
Okay.
I think there are efficiencies. You can get recruiting and training and everything from buying uniforms to transportation, everything could be run a little bit more efficient. But okay. that's entirely up to the Board of County of County Commissioners.
Yeah, just only because it came up, and I, you know, obviously you were the assistant county administrator, and you were over corrections at the time, so you've got a lot of experience.
I was
in
that
this
chief
area
corrections
too.
Officer.
Yeah. So yeah, we also had, and pardon me, but I think this is probably the weirdest one of the week. There was a birthday party in Cantonment, and what I know about this is that a woman wound up chasing some kids with a butcher's knife.
Yeah, that's basically it. How crazy is this? So a lady decides that she is going
a female decides
for whatever reason that during a birthday party, and there were 11-year-olds, so I'm assuming the birthday party was for people that were about 11 to 12-year-olds.
Okay.
And she decides to chase some people around with a knife. Ends up cutting a 17-year-old in the hand during this escapade. And at one point, she is carrying a one-year-old and chasing 11-year-olds with what is described as a butcher knife. That's crazy.
She's carrying a one-year-old, running around chasing 11-year-olds with a butcher's knife at a kid's birthday party.
That's correct. And okay. That's what she's in jail for.
Okay.
You know, who does that?
Yeah.
Well, the people that go to jail, who does that? That's who does it.
I hate to ask because I expect there's probably not an answer, but do we know why?
No.
Okay.
She was angered for some reason. Who knows? Okay. Birthday parties can be
apparently stressful or something. I mean, I don't. Okay. All right. I'm glad the only injury was cut to the hand and not something much worse. From
it could have been. It could have been terrible.
Could have been a lot of bad things. Yeah. Right. All right. Well. Wow. Yeah. Don't know where to go with this one. I did want to ask you, there was a story out of, I think it's Arkansas, that has gotten a lot of headlines. The shortest version of it is that this family has a teenage daughter. I think she was either 13 or 14 last summer and apparently was raped by a guy who's significantly older, groomed, allegedly, 67-year-old man. They have a restraining order against him, order protection order against him. And apparently he's wanted for other crimes, and maybe the victim is also a witness to some of that or knows, has knowledge about that. So maybe. So the dad of the girl wakes up in the middle of the night and the dogs are barking and it's her dog and says, well, he shouldn't be barking. Goes to her room. She's not there. They call 911. He gets in his truck, goes driving around, finds her in this guy's car driving around the neighborhood. Here things are a little bit unclear, but apparently gets into some kind of a confrontation with him and winds up shooting this guy and killing him. And now the dad is being charged with at least manslaughter. Apparently he's a military guy. There's been, you know, she's tried to raise funds for him in his defense or whatever. I know everything depends on the circumstance. But thoughts?
My thoughts are that he shouldn't have been messing with a 13-year-old. He shouldn't have been violating a restraining order. He certainly should not have been in a car with her late at night. And here, he should have fought the dad. Seems to me like the dad was protecting himself. Now, I don't know all the scenario, all the situation, and all the, you know, nuances of the situation. But to me, as I said, the tie goes to the runner if one individual is, you know, trespassing on your property, or one individual is starting the fight, or one individual is doing some terrible things to your daughter. I don't think that you're going to get my sympathy as a sheriff if you put yourself in that situation, because I like to put myself in a situation of the reasonable person.
Right.
I like to put myself in a situation, you know, from a sheriff's standpoint, but also, hey, what about, you know, a father in this particular circumstance? Is it reasonable to think that his daughter was in danger to go to see them? Yes.
Right.
Is it reasonable to confront this guy? I think that you've got to do something to protect your family. And we talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
Yep. Is it reasonable to believe this guy tried to harm you? Sure.
Yeah, I, you know, we talk a lot about, are you in fear of your life or the life or limb of somebody else? And, you know, being a dad, imagine your teenage daughter in this car late at night with a guy you believe raped her and has an order of protection out against him. I don't think there's anybody in the known universe that doesn't sympathize with the dad and doesn't think, what would I do in that circumstance? And, you know, it's hard to imagine a case where that guy comes out alive.
Yeah,
but you can't go vengefully executing the law. But if he did anything to participate in or threaten or menace or make the debt, you know, it's like, okay, like you said, tie goes to the runner, especially under these circumstances.
At the time you're rescuing your daughter.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, there's a confrontation and, you know, this guy has everything to lose.
Yeah.
You know, he's desperate. I would think that if anything, this investigation would take us a long time to investigate. We'd really have to look at every little piece of this.
And that's what I figured. I just wanted to, you know, it's always good to check my intuitions against, you know, what the expert, which yeah, is.
But it's like you said, I can't say go ahead and, you know, and assassinate somebody or kill somebody. That's not cool. But I do think that when you look at the scenario, why are they there in the first place? Mm-hmm. And what's the scenario that brought them together? And then what is the most realistic scenario? And that is that this guy was probably fighting him, you know, because he knew he was going to go to jail for a long time.
Right. Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for keeping us informed and teaching us about the law all the time. And certainly for your deputies and all the work. No, seriously. I mean, I learned so much from doing this. So I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
I will let you know that our hurricane response team is heading back now.
Oh,
they've
good.
Completed
okay.
their tasks in Hillsborough County. And
this
obviously,
is team two.
Shout out to them.
This is the second
this
team.
This is the second one. First one was the Helene. This is the Milton squad. They're coming back today. So we're certainly proud of them.
We absolutely appreciate that. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're seeing that accident that happened on Old Palafox and, let me pull it up, East Lucy Drive. Still saying the roadway is blocked, so you definitely want to plan an alternate route. Also, I-10 eastbound from Pine Forest all the way through Highway 29 through that construction zone is seeing about a 10 to 15 minute delay. And if you're traveling southbound on 29, just south of the intersection of 9 Mile Road, you're going to see maybe a 15, 20 minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hello, my name is Ed Carson. Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, and it's not slowing down. Our parks, roads, bridges, and other community amenities have to keep up. I'm urging you to vote yes for the penny sales tax to replace the current half cent tax. This will fund essential community improvements, enhance our quality of life, better protect our families, and improve public works. Please go to SantaRosaYes.com for more information.
Political advertisement paid for by Building Santa Rosa Tomorrow Today.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
So this new dose is, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
As if!
You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
Oh, that's Mayor Robinson's old music. I've forgotten about that. Haven't heard that in a long time. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a Las Vegas man says he plans to sue the Sheriff's Department in Riverside County, California, that arrested him for allegedly carrying loaded firearms to former President Trump's rally in California over the weekend, Vern Miller. accusing the Sheriff's Department in Riverside County of defamation.
Pretty high bar to make defamation against the sheriff.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays.